It feels like the start of a movement of like British patriots coming together from across the political spectrum. And of course, off the back of that, it was very evident who wasn't there, or two parties that weren't there. GB News. Great Britain News was not at this great big British patriotic event. That was fascinating. Mm. And the people that did cover it tended to disparage it. Mm. But then also Reform / Nigel Farage were not present either.
I just think it's a very sad state of affairs that the whole of Europe is waking up to what's going on. The whole of Europe is saying, we have had enough.
Yeah. And they come back to me while I'm in America last week and say, you have been expelled as a conclusion of this investigation for two reasons. One is associating with the far right, Tommy Robinson. Like, again, guilt by association. And the second is some of your tweets may be viewed as anti-Muslim. It's like, hello, I'm a Christian cleric. Do you want me to be pro another faith? It's just ridiculous. That's how absurd they are.
This is why I despise politics in a way. And you know, it's why we put these pledges together rather than try and stand anybody. Because, you know, I'm sort of sympathetic to the Reform mission in a way now. In a way I wasn't before, which was like, with behaviour like that, with that Richard Holden man, who's like, oh, I'm so tied to the Northeast. You know, I love it. The Northeast is my home. Northeast, Northern, boy, you conservative. I love it. I'm great. It's you and Basildon and Billericay. You know, they'll do anything to get power. Mm. Welcome to Fox and Father. He's back with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
He's back. Well, he's back.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. I've had a bit of a stressful morning.
Yeah. I'm not going to let it affect you.
I'm not going to let it affect me at all, but those puppies, because the puppies have been with Lizzie, and Lizzie's very, she's with them all the time.
Yes.
So whenever they see a human now, they're just like, I've got to, they just go, I want to be with you. And I'm trying to do other things. Right. And
so they're all becoming like Maggie.
Yeah, needy.
Yeah.
They've inherited their mother's neediness.
Oh dear.
So there we are. So that's how I am.
Six needy dogs in the house.
So, well, Sparky's not that needy.
No.
So it's six.
So you've got five puppies and Maggie, right?
Five puppies, Maggie, Blaze and Sparky.
Yeah, so Blaze and Sparky are fine.
Mm. Well, they sleep on my bed now. Anyway, so I'm all right. I've had a, I went to, what have I done?
Yeah.
So I went to Alabama, but we've recorded since. Yeah. And then I went to Norway to see my hero, right. Matt Hayes.
I saw these videos of you out in Norway, like being a fisherman and stuff. Mm. How was that?
It was so nice because Matt Hayes was a hero of mine.
He's a good man.
Because I love fishing. Yeah. And I used to watch the Great Rod Race and stuff like that. I was just like, and he's contacted me separately outside of before this trip, just to go, good on you, mate. Love what you're doing and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And so he said, you know, if you ever fancy a break, come and hang out. And I was like, all right, I'd love to. So I went and learnt to fly fish on the most beautiful river in the world, best salmon fishing river in the world, and I caught a giant salmon.
Well, you looked very laid back. You looked like you were having a good time.
Yeah, there's little huts along the river in each pool where the salmon lay up and wait. And, you know, you sit in there, do you need a match?
I've got one, all right.
You have a little fire, you have a bottle of Gentleman Jack Daniels, and you fish with the Norwegians, who basically are obsessed, and they fish constantly all day and all night because it never gets dark.
But you eat the fish, right? You don't just throw them back?
No, you put them back. Oh, the locals eat the fish.
Okay.
But it's the world's greatest sporting fish, and there aren't many of them.
I don't think I believe in throwing them back.
Oh, dear. We're going to get off to a bad start already. Why don't you believe in throwing fish back? We're not throwing them back. Putting them back so they can go and spawn. They've travelled out to sea to underneath the Arctic ice cap to feed, yeah, and then they've come back to the place where they were born to have babies. Why would you kill it on its way to have a baby? It's the locals do, and they eat them.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. This is scriptural, right? You catch fish to eat them. That's what they're for.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. To me, it had sport, and well, therefore, yeah. I don't mind killing things
with sport. Yeah,
I'll kill it. I'll shoot any pheasant you throw anywhere near me.
Yeah,
or a partridge or anything like that. I'm happy to black them out the sky, and I'm partial to a partridge. Breast broken and cooked in lemon and garlic.
Yes.
And I'm partial to a pheasant stew. I'm not particularly partial to roast pheasant, though. It's a bit fatty. So that was my joy. I went to hang out with him. Mm. Saw the in the land where it never gets dark. People were like mowing their lawns at 2 a.m. and stuff. It's just like they're completely bonkers.
Where was it?
It was in north of Trondheim.
Okay.
So it's not total land of the midnight sun because you've got to go a bit further north. But I was with my hero, who turns out to be one of the most thoughtful guys in the world, sat there chilling in front of a fire, stinking of fire every day, you know, black beneath your fingernails. Really nice sort of feeling. So I loved it. But more importantly, you've been gone for 2 bloody weeks.
I have been gone for 2 weeks. It feels like a long time.
Tell me about it.
It's been amazing. I've loved it. I kind of had a little bit of a speaking tour. Mm. So I did like 4 speaking engagements in Texas and then 4 in Alabama. And while I was out there, I was preaching both Sundays in different churches. And I've met a whole load of good people. As I do every time I go to America. It's just, there's so good Christians out there.
They're so good, the Americans.
Yes. I went to some Anglican conferences. I went to an evangelical conference at the Colson Center, which was very ecumenical. But my whole thing over the last couple
weeks...
What
does ecumenical mean?
Well, this has been my thing. Ecumenism has been my message, right? That it's no good being Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, or 100 other different Protestant denominations.
It's like genders.
It is a bit. Like, we have to find the common ground, which, of course, is Jesus Christ. We've got to find the orthodoxy that we can all unite under. Because every single church is going woke to some degree. Every single mainline church is seeding ground to the liberals, to the progressives, away from scriptural orthodoxy to worldly nonsense. And so our job is to form a remnant of orthodox Christians. So that's been my message. Like, we all need to get together, pray for the nation. It's needed now more than ever. And it's been going down quite well. Mm. You know, I got invited to this mega church to speak, and this is obviously entirely different to my tradition.
Your vibes.
Right. But it was wonderful. They were really good people, and I got things out of them that I wouldn't necessarily have known, but they got things out of me that they wouldn't necessarily have known, and we help each other.
That's good. It's always good to find common ground with people, especially in a world where no one wants to find common ground, and actually people seem to walk around constantly looking for the things that separate us out from one another.
Exactly. The enemy wants to divide us, so we have to do the opposite of that and come together.
Mm.
And I missed, unfortunately, while I was out there, the Tommy Robinson rally that you guys were all involved in.
Absolutely.
That looked fantastic.
That was insane. Like 20,000 people.
Right.
It felt like the first time people had actually got together and just gone, I've had enough of this. Yeah. I'm done with all of this.
But in a kind of positive vibe though, right?
Yeah, because it's that thing which is that so many people, look, I understand newspapers sell stories though, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. I get that. But there are so many good people in this country with so many good intentions and so many good desires to have that sort of ecumenical idea, if you will, who are and we're divided by like 0.1% of blue-haired gender fluid people. Yeah. And I just am like, shh, go away. And the vibe was very much, Tommy's a fascinating character because he's come out of, we need to get onto that. You hanging out with him got you in trouble. he's a fascinating character because he's very driven.
Yeah.
And he's been beaten. There's not much more you could take out of him except lock him in a cell for even longer. So, you know, he's out there. He's over-energized. He's like Ben Shapiro on steroids.
Yeah.
He's just like, rah, 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 rah. I said to him, you've got to speak just a bit slower.
Right. Yeah. He's got that nervous energy.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, if you'd had that done to you for a long time,
absolutely.
I know that from personal experience as to you. It's just, it takes its toll on your body. Right. So that was great. Amazing atmosphere. Wonderful people. We're organizing one for the 27th. We're going to have more music, which music was a really good call because it's so good to have music there and you know, like brings the joy out in people and it unifies people. And we're going to have a bit of comedy this time, have a few more speeches. We've got a meeting. We're going to try and put together what is essentially a you know, a pledge of, for the people to say, this is what I stand for. And then I think it keeps you out of this problem with politics, which is like, this is what I stand for, but I'm not going to deliver it. And, you know, there's the liars within the political class that I just find, yuck.
It feels like the start of a movement of like British patriots coming together from across the political spectrum. And of course, off the back of that, it was very evident who wasn't there, or two parties that weren't there. GB News. Great Britain News was not at this great big British patriotic event. That was fascinating. And the people that did cover it tended to disparage it. But then also Reform / Nigel Farage were not present either.
One wonders whether the rally made Nigel Farage change his mind.
Well, indeed, straight after the rally, he's like, oh my gosh, there's a great big movement of British people coming together. I need to be at the front of that. How do I take over it? Oh, I'll become the leader of Reform again.
Well, as Mark Stein said last night, he's got a perfect barometer for when it's okay to start saying things. And you know, I suppose it may work in both of our benefits at some point, but people have very short memories. Especially over things like what they were saying about their lockdowns and their showing me to put that table in the middle.
I've always said he will come out when it's in his best interest to come out, and it seems it's in his interest right now to come out. The Tories are plummeting. #ZeroSeats is working. There's a chance that he could become even the opposition at this point.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen first past the post, is it?
I don't know. Anything's possible right now.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I have, over the years that I've worked in this area, my real unhappiness and sort of, it's not disdain, but I just think, who would want to become an MP unless you'd done a lot of things beforehand? So you'd achieved something in your life and you really felt like, right, now I'm going to really sort out the neediest in my constituency and I'm going to represent them in Parliament. Right. I don't trust these straight out of Oxford PPE types.
You should have been in the real world first to see some of the problems in the real world and hopefully have an idea on how to attend them, how to fix them, rather than career politicians who want to be in Westminster for the sake of being in Westminster. This movement is important. This grassroots movement is important. And Tommy Robinson, you, Carl Benjamin, all the people that came out are good people fighting the good fight for British people. Now, if Reform want to represent those people, they have to be talking to those people. It can't just be Nigel steps out and says, no, I am now the person to represent. Like, he has to talk to you, me, Tommy, Carl, like... And he is the guy, let's be honest, Nigel is the guy who was involved in ostracizing Tommy Robinson in the first place, you know, saying, these far-right bigoted racists, these Islamophobes.
And you and me as well.
Well, and you and me. He threw us under the bus as well, absolutely. But when it became, when Tommy and people started getting involved in UKIP, Nigel was the one who shoved them under the bus. And so it's all right for these people to say, yeah, it's Reform, they're going to be the better. Like, how are they better? In what way are they better? Like, unless Nigel Farage is talking to Tommy Robinson and people like him, they're not better.
So you're right. GB News didn't turn up to cover the rally because GB News were allergic to Tommy Robinson, despite the fact that Tommy Robinson has never said anything racist in his life that I've ever heard. And a guy who interviewed me really went to town to try and find out anything he said, and he hasn't. So GB News are... You know, the weird thing is I've muted GB News on my phone. They're not blocked or anything, they're just muted. And it's amazing how little you see of something you mute. Isn't it? It's like, someone will share a bit and I'll go, oh my God, GB News. Oh, I forgot they existed. So it's so funny when you're in something and you're working there and you're like, you're giving it, you know, your all.
It's your world and then suddenly it doesn't exist.
Which is strange. So the BBC did send a journalist down to say some snarky stuff. The coverage was like football hooligans do this, football hooligans do that.
I saw that. That was interesting.
Yeah, it's like the tidiest bunch of football hooligans I've ever seen. Parliament Square was immaculately clean afterwards.
But it was your supporters. It was Carl Benjamin's supporters. It was a whole host of different people's supporters, not just Tommy Robinson's supporters. Yeah, so some of Tommy Robinson's supporters might be from the football scene, but yours certainly aren't. So to paint everyone under this one umbrella was disingenuous.
Well, it's this... bastard thing. Sorry, swear jar. It's not quite swear jar, is it? 50p maybe. It's this dreadful thing of the far right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like going, the more you call me far right, the more proud I am to be far right, because everything that the so-called far right stands for, I am completely behind all of it. Every part of it.
What the left think the far right is, yeah. But there actually is a far right. This is the scary thing. And the far right are horrible people.
Yeah.
Like the anti-Semitic, like racist.
Where are they though? Do you see them?
I see sections of them, very small sections of them.
Yeah.
If they actually came up and became prominent, the far left will be in very serious trouble. But to call us the far right is just dishonest.
Yeah.
We're just normal, ordinary, patriotic British people that want our country to be sound again.
And to conserve some of the things that this Conservative Party haven't conserved, right. And they're therefore going to get obliterated about.
And as you alluded to, while I was in America, I got expelled from the Conservative Party. Right, so a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from them saying, we are investigating you because someone has complained about you. I'm like, who are you to investigate me for? About what? Because all this time, I've still been a member of the party. But I don't publicize that. So I don't know who knew I was a member to complain to the party in the first place. That's interesting. Probably someone like Albie Emmett and Kona or someone like that who was celebrating the moment I got expelled, you know. But I've been a member for a very good reason, because I truly believe that this is one of the parties of government, right? And if we're going to reform it, we have to... People always say, you know, change it from within. And I always say, by what mechanism, don't I? There is a mechanism to change the Conservative Party, or there are a few mechanisms, but you have to be a member to do those things, yeah. Such as voting for the next leader.
Mm.
And even though I've been a member, I've been hypercritical of them at all times. So I'm not like a Conservative shill. However, someone complained to the party, and I got sent a list of all the reasons they complained. And there were things like me retweeting my interview with Tommy Robinson, like guilt by association. And so the party said, you're under investigation. Please keep this confidential until we come to a conclusion. I was like, okay, cool. I'll leave you to it. I won't tweet about it. Let's see what you come up with. Surely they're just going to shrug this off as some idiot complaining because they don't like me. And they come back to me while I'm in America last week and say, you have been expelled as a conclusion of this investigation for two reasons. One is associating with the far right, Tommy Robinson, like, again, guilt by association. And the second is some of your tweets may be viewed as anti-Muslim. It's like, hello, I'm a Christian cleric. Do you want me to be pro another faith? It's just ridiculous. That's how absurd they are.
What a bunch of cowardly twats. Sorry, but it's like, this is why I despise politics in a way. And you know, it's why we put these pledges together rather than try and stand anybody. Because, you know, I'm sort of sympathetic to the reform mission in a way now. In a way I wasn't before, which was like, with behaviour like that, with that Richard Holden man, who's like, oh, I'm so tied to the Northeast. You know, I love it. The Northeast is my home. I'm a Northeast, Northern boy, conservative. I love it. I'm great. It's you and Basildon and Billericay. You know, they'll do anything to get power.
Mm.
And that's all they do. And he's run this selection process whereby we've got these bunch of absolute morons. We had a girl on... people get really upset when I call women girls, but I just call people girls and boys or girls and blokes. And there was this girl on Newsnight the other day, and she was saying, I know that our voters don't like what our policies are, but sometimes it's just the right thing to do.
Says who?
She. Her.
Like, who determines what's right? Surely your voters. They vote based on a manifesto of what you say that your beliefs are. And then when you get elected, they expect you to follow through with that manifesto. Otherwise, what's the point? People. We don't vote people in to rule over us. We vote for them to govern based on what we've determined is right. We
serve us. They serve us. We're not their slaves.
It's ridiculous.
That's what I find so appalling about it. So they kicked you out, the Conservative Party, for being a Conservative.
At a time when they need more members than ever. It's absolutely ridiculous. I can't get over it.
Yeah. Well, no, I with you, nothing comes as a surprise. Like, literally nothing comes as a surprise. You could phone me up tomorrow and go, I'm in Alcatraz. Yeah. You know, they've just decided to lock... Well, not in America. Actually, I'm in Belmarsh. Why? What did you do? The police turned up and arrested me. Like, you're such a figure of complete brutality for that lot, which I find really, really upsetting.
My friend sent me a message saying that... it's gone now. They're setting you up to take some kind of fall. Like, you know, Salman Rushdie kind of thing. Like, they're setting me up to be attacked by the Mohammedans.
That's a scary thought. And that's what they do. That's what the real threat to social cohesion. I'm sure, you know, you're saying there is a far right, and I've not encountered it. I've seen a couple of guys at a couple of the rallies with their faces covered, and that always makes me think dodgy. But this is what the far left, who have perpetrated more political violence in the last 3 years than anyone else on earth, is they demonize people. Mm. And they therefore, the more you demonize someone, the more you legitimize harming that person. And that is they're doing it with Trump. Mm. You know, he's a convicted felon. Felon. Yeah. It's almost like permission to attack someone. And
as much as I don't trust Farage, like, he's been attacked this week, and all the lefty commentators, none of them could just say it's wrong. You cannot attack politicians. They're all like, yes, well, he has contributed to a harmful debate, he has said toxic things, he has been like, no, whatever he says is his politics. You may disagree with his politics, but they're his politics. He is not, nothing he said is worthy of attack, of a physical harmful assault. And if you think it is, you are the wrong. You are in the wrong.
Yeah, but they did the same in me with racist. It was the same thing. It's like, you can now call you a racist.
Right.
Until Narinda Gore called me a sexual assaulter. Right. Again, she's getting a legal letter.
Good.
But I don't think I wonder if I'm libelable nowadays. I think some of us, we're just deplorable to them.
I mean, I'm nobody. I've now been cancelled by the Church of England, GB News, and flipping the Conservative Party. Like,
do you know why?
Just as a typical...
I'll tell you why you've been cancelled by the Church of England. Because you're a Christian. And the Church of England is a satanic... The Church of England worships Satan. Well, certainly the leadership does, with their little pride months and their... You know, they don't even quote the second half of the verse when they say we were all made in the image of God. He made them male and female.
Right, right.
So they just go... They're lost in the trans-gay thing, which makes them, at the end of the day, devil worshippers to me. And therefore, so you get cancelled because you're a Christian. Mm. You get cancelled from GB News because you were providing an alternative voice to the approved mainstream media narrative, which was to go, I want to do a common sense crusade, I want to base it in faith, which is, let's face it, the only place you can base these conversations now, because it is a spiritual war, and it is a war of good versus evil. And you're cancelled by the Conservative Party because you're a conservative. And I've said this to you before, and I really mean it. In any other era, you'd be a role model to people. To young people, they would be wheeling you out into schools and going, hey, Calv, listen to Father Calvin.
Right.
But in 2024, you're somehow a wrong'un.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's my cross to bear. There are people who are far more persecuted than I, and we were with one last night.
Mm.
You know, Mark Stein said to me, actually, out of all of us that have been fired, your situation is the worst because you did absolutely nothing wrong, and I thank him for that. But we went to his... So I landed yesterday... back from Alabama.
Where you've been with Larry.
Yeah, this is a Cohiba 54, by the way.
That is like 600 quid's worth of cigar.
Yeah, he gave me a 56 as well while I was there.
Bastard. Larry, I want one.
Larry is a good man.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is from Corey Turner.
Corey!
Our chauffeur.
Oh, man. I love Corey. Corey is... So when you get to the airport... and you drive down to Larry's, he sends this guy called Corey.
He's
and Corey's car, it's like one of those massive comfy cars, and it's just full of like any stuff. Booze you can have, sweets, wine, tequila.
Yeah.
It was heaven. So that's very nice of him. Thank you, Corey, and thank you, Larry, for all your lovely hospitality. So, last night we went to the Arts Club. Mark was in court yesterday.
Well, before that, so I landed straight from Alabama, had a shave, got a new shirt on, and went down to court, to the Royal Courts of Justice, where Mark Stein had his tribunal.
Yeah. And you could get in or you couldn't get in?
There were so many of us. It was ridiculous. They hadn't opened the top tier of the gallery, so we couldn't actually get in. Many of us were hovering outside for hours. But eventually they did do a security check and open the upper gallery, and most people were able to get in at some point. But there wasn't. I mean, it's legalese, isn't it? Like with your case, you can sit there all day and not hear a single thing.
Mm.
There were a few pointers. I don't know how much of it I'm allowed to say.
Well, I think you're allowed to say it. It's a public gallery, you can say whatever. Okay.
Well, there were a few things that the Ofcom guys were saying, such as, we're not making a statement on the values of what Mark was said. We're not being politically biased. And then the judge was like, but you did call Naomi Wolf a conspiracy theorist. Like, that is surely a judgment call right there. And they were like, well, no, because some conspiracy theories can be true. And so it was that kind of...
Oh, I hate the law.
Yeah.
I hate those things. And I bet you what they'll do is they'll turn around and they'll go, at the time, what Mark Stein said wasn't true. It is true
There's
now.
There's more context now, yeah.
So... You know, but I'm afraid truths are truths.
Exactly.
They don't change. That's why they're called truth.
But for him, he was one of the few voices putting out that alternative narrative. And surely Ofcom is all about providing balance. So if everyone else in the media is providing one narrative, surely him providing a different perspective is a good thing. That provides balance on the greater scale.
Are you giving Ofcom the benefit of the doubt, Calvin?
No, I'm saying that they should have seen him as a good thing instead of clamping down on him for not going along with the narrative.
Yeah, but it's the media political complex. It's like the media just serve up the narrative that the government wants served up.
Ofcom need to be disbanded.
Anything with a com on the end of it needs to be disbanded. Elcom does as well. You know, all of this stuff, we need to have a proportional representative system of elections in this government, in this country. We need to get rid of people that are ambitious politicians for life.
It's another Tony Blair thing, isn't it? Of the government having basically a distanced governing approach over the media. So it is a government body. It's a regulatory body. So the government has say over what the media can say or do without it seeming like it. That is totalitarian. When the government changed the policy, or Ofcom changed the policies over COVID, of you couldn't question or undermine public health bodies. Like, it's the job of the media to question public health bodies, especially when you lock down an entire country and force certain individuals to take medical interventions. That is criminal. Mm. All of it's criminal. But now we're going beyond that and saying they're not just a broadcast regulatory body, they're also going to regulate online media. Like, we are not a free country.
We're not a free country.
But everyone needs to download VPNs now before it's too late.
Yeah.
Because when that switch is on, it's on. We'll become like North Korea and China.
Yeah, you need to download a VPN. It's appalling that this country has gone to that. And people just don't seem to... I mean, a lot of people do. That rally was full of people that do. But there's no one representing... I've got this theory about Reform and Farage and stuff like that. I don't say this out of... You know, I say it more in sadness than in anger, is that Reform are essentially a one-man band, which is Farage. She's, along with Boris, the most famous politician this country's ever had in our lifetimes. And I think he did see that rally and he thought the people are ready for this.
Yeah.
But he's still, we got to remember a couple of the things that Farage did, which was he supported lockdowns and he supported vaccines.
He supported Tony Blair.
Did he? No.
As the vaccine minister.
Mm.
It was like the government needs to take on board what Tony Blair is saying.
It's a very, very strange. And also I've had a lot of messages from Reform candidates this week saying, I've got no money, I've got no help, I've got no support, I've got to pay my own deposit, I've got to do my own leaflet. It's a generic leaflet.
Because you've been supporting the Tories.
Well, I said it was available to anybody. It could be Labour or Lib Dem. Okay. I couldn't hand it out to prospective candidates because I'd just be paying Jeremy would be paying via us $1.3 million to 630 candidates or whatever. Okay. So
how many people have taken you up on this pledge? We talked about the pledge last
week.
Four
Tories so far, and then there'll be a bit more.
Okay. Can we name them?
There'll be a bit more coming in. Andrea Jenkins, Brendan Clark-Smith, Brain... I'll remember.
Sorry.
I'll remember in a minute. They've signed up for it, and that's good. And then I spoke to the people yesterday, and they were like, "I would sign up to it. I've raised my money now, so that's good." So I said, "Well, sign it anyway.
Right.
Tell your constituents that you care about this sort of stuff."
But the party's trying to tell people not to sign it, right? Mm. They've had a bit of a battle internally. Mm. Okay,
that's Holden. So I wanted to create a bit of tension because...
That's what you do best.
Yeah. Part of me believes that this general election is a wonderful thing because it's going to... The wet Tories are going to lose their seats, I think.
Yeah.
And some good Tories are going to lose their seats too, which is...
I hope they all lose their seats.
I don't.
I hope for zero seats.
Yeah, you want zero seats.
Even my friends, the Tories need to be wiped out at this point. This is it. They've had their time. Even the good ones, they've had their time to reform their party from within. 14 years, mate, in power.
I've not done a single thing. I'm with you. I just am not so on the zero seats thing. Okay. Because, as I was sort of trying to say, Farage is a political genius. Mm. Ben Habib is absolutely a very, very, very sharp and bright man. Rupert Lowe is a smart man.
Okay.
Tice is a nice man.
Yes.
I'm digging now for what else is there.
Are you worried about who they'll be replaced
by? I'm just saying, would you want a government of people you'd never, ever knew anything about?
No, no. Excuse me. But I'm tired of voting for the Tories out of fear of the opposition, right? Mm. I'm tired of... I mean, it was...
No, vote reform.
Vote for them because of Jeremy Corbyn, right? You don't want to let Corbyn in, so vote for the Tories. Like, it's constantly vote for the Tories because of fear of the opposition.
Yeah.
Like, I want to vote for the Tories because they're good again. I want to vote for them because they're conservative again. I believed in them. I wanted, you know, 5 more years. I want that again.
Yeah.
So they need to provide that. So I'm no longer going to vote for them because the opposition's bad. Labour are awful.
But why stand? Why not? Why take someone from Hillary Benn's seat,
right,
which is next door to Andrea's,
because
unless, and put him against Andrea?
Because unless they all suffer, they will not repent. Right now, they're already going to be blaming different people. They're going to be we've gone too far right. This is the problem. We need to go more centrist. We need to go more... Like, they won't get it unless they're wiped out.
Right. Well, I mean, that's totally fair enough. But the problem is they're not going to be wiped out.
You never know.
I don't think they will be wiped out. I think when people go into that ballot box and they look at their MP, and if their MPs are wet, then I think they'll vote reform, and they should do. Or, you know, if they fancy giving the other half of the Union Party a go, they'll vote Labour or Lib Dem.
I'm still going to spoil my ballot. And I hope a lot of people do.
I am.
I hope Labour get in with the lowest vote they've ever got in with.
I think there should be a law that if a certain turnout isn't achieved in a general election, you can't change the government.
I
think there should be a law. I think you should have to have over 50% turnout for a general election. If there isn't 50% turnout, the government stays in power.
Well, we could do what the Australians do and make sure everyone votes, compulsory voting.
Mm.
I don't know how I feel about that, but it's an approach.
Yeah. Maybe you could incentivize people to vote. Mm. Possibly you could incentivize by giving them an alternative. You know, strange idea. I just think it's a very sad state of affairs that the whole of Europe is waking up to what's going on. Mm. The whole of Europe is saying, we have had enough.
Yeah.
We want to go back to things like children need to be loved and taught that they're perfectly fine how they are, not doped to the eyeballs with drugs for made up medical conditions, or have their genitals chopped off, and you know, and that we don't see skin colour in everything, and you know, and we're so due a return to that world.
And everyone's getting sick of mass immigration because the countries are changing. The demographic of Europe is changing rapidly.
Mm.
And people are saying, no, actually, we want our country to be our country.
Yeah.
What happened in France was a wake up call.
You're a racist football hooligan if you say that, though. That's what makes you a racist football hooligan. And I'm just like, I'm fine. Call me a racist football hooligan.
It means nothing.
I'm not.
As we know from your trial, no one knows what racism means. So
apparently they do know what it means. And they know what it means so much that they don't even have to define it. That's how stupid the legal system is.
Right.
It's a natural and ordinary person. It's a meaning that, you know, the Clapham Omnibus person would know. It's like, well, define it then.
Yeah.
So that I can find out what the guy on the bus actually thinks. Or are you just going to waste time and be a political judiciary? So the election is sort of disheartening in that way. My idea was to go, there will be some Tories at the end of this. There will be some that get through. I wouldn't be surprised if Reform get more percentage of the vote.
Right.
But there will be some Tories left. Mm. If I were Reform, I wouldn't have stood against good Tories. I would have actually made sure that the 40 or 50. Well,
they did that before with the Brexit Party. And I think that was wrong. If you're gonna have a political party, you have to stand right. These deals don't work, these pacts don't work, and people want an alternative to vote for.
Yeah.
So you've got to give them that option.
Yeah.
And if Reform are the only party that's saying we'll have political reform, as in we'll have PR or some kind of new, get rid of first past the post, then that's a good option as well.
Yeah, that is a good option. And it will embolden people from all sides to come forward. And you know, I really want to see the rise of independence, actually. I'd really love to see.
Yeah.
Lee Anderson's got a problem in his seat with the independents.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're called the Ashfield Independents, aren't they?
That's a hot seat, though. That's always been difficult.
So. Yeah.
But he's a good man. I like Lee.
Yeah, I like Lee too. But he's you know, it's going to be tricky for him. And I do feel like I'd love it if there were just a few Tories left who were good.
If it were just the good ones, then they could reshape the party, perhaps. They also need to sort out CCHQ, of course, and get rid of Dr. No. Are you standing?
Well, no, because I've done the deal with them, so it's not really fair of me to turn around and say, I'll support you, but I'm standing. I don't want to be someone's competition. Okay. I was thinking of standing in the Spen Valley next to where the teacher's family came from, still in hiding, still totally ignored by the Labour MP, Kim Ledbetter. And I was thinking of standing there, and I spoke to Paul Halloran, who I'm good friends with and have been, and you know, because we've been in touch over the years. Yeah. And Paul is not standing because he's doing really well with his new business that he started after COVID, and it's going really well. So he's like, I can only stand if I really put my heart and soul into it, and I just am not able to do that this time. And I said, well, I'll stand then. And he said, no, if you stand, then I'll have to stand. And I felt guilty. But my plan would have been just to stand and call it the teacher.
Yeah.
And it would have been about that and about these creeping blasphemy laws. And the thing is, you think about this, the mass immigration problem. The mass immigration problem means that the people with, you know, when you've got these MPs going, we need to be taking refugees from Gaza. I'm like, you really, really don't. Because these kids are taught from the beginning of their lives to hate the West, hate Jews and hate America and kill people. Yeah. So I absolutely don't want you in my country. No. So the large amounts of, very decent, secular, westernized Muslims who in your worldview would be just waiting to turn to Christ at some point. Mm. That's not a major problem in the UK. But what is a major problem is it's more than a small minority. It's a very, very, very sizable minority, admittedly a minority, of people that absolutely hate Western values, hate our legal system, hate our laws, hate our police, hate our God, hate our religion, hate our institutions. And those people are going to be in the police force, in the health service, in our national institutions, when our children are adults.
Well, they already are in these systems.
I know they are.
This is why the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs get away with it, because so many people are complicit in covering it up. We have
Gramsci. Do you not think that's white liberals who
So the white liberals are part of the problem, because they are afraid of diversity, inclusion and equality and all that stuff, afraid of racism and this and that and the other. But there are so many Mohammedans in these positions that are covering up for their cousins, and so we're already done. This is, you know, this is, I keep saying to people, London is already done.
I feel it is.
The vote base has been imported. The Mohammedan mayor got re-elected.
He's not
even though everyone who is British does not like him, because he hates us, hates our country, does nothing for us.
He's not.
We can't get rid of him.
But he's not a Muslim.
He is a Muslim. He defended the Muslim Brotherhood, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's into trans rights and diversity, equity, inclusion, and gays.
No,
and
that's all tack here. Like, they, why are they still voting for him? The Mohammedans would not block vote for a man that is truly woke.
So you think he's not? You don't think he's woke at all?
No.
Talk me through that.
I just think he'll do what it takes to get into power, and now he's in power, and we can't remove him. He's irremovable.
Yeah, I certainly feel London is completely lost and fallen. Well,
London's just the start, isn't it? All the major cities are going this way, as your tweet rightly pointed out. Oh, and on the matter of your tweets, you went viral.
Like days later.
I was like, oh, he's doing the same thing again. Because last year I bought you those trans flags from the hotel and you burnt them. I was like, this is funny, last year. But I was like, oh, he's doing the same trick again this year. No one's going to like. Then I was like, whoa, I swear everywhere.
It was, I'm going to burn that flag wherever I see it. And have you noticed? It works. If you stand up and you go to the flag of the revolutionaries and you openly burn it, I've noticed London is not so pridey this month. And I'm only going to take a small amount of credit for it, but it's not that as pridey. I've seen a definite diminishment in there. People know that flag is not what they think it is.
Flag is oppressive. Of course, we know it represents the mortification of children, mutilation of children, but also it's a sign of dominance. It's a sign that the woke law have taken over.
Yeah.
We went to an event last night, and that great big pride trans flag was hanging outside the front door.
Yeah, oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, outside the arts club.
I wasn't going to mention it, but yeah, it's outside the Arts Club. You guys need to rip it down.
Well, it is the Arts Club, I suppose. It's the arts. You know, they're all like David Tennant's always going on about trans kids. And I'm just like,
they always oh my God,
Doctor Who. I've only seen a few clips online. But Doctor Trans.
Doctor Who went gay and black, didn't he?
After he went feminist. I mean, there's so much. There's so much diversity that it gives you a headache. Diversity in itself is discombobulating.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't cope with any of it. It drives me mad. So I didn't know they had the flag out there. I didn't notice that.
You're blind to it now. I've got your present.
Way!
So these are limited edition. They are going to be on our new store. Once it's launched.
We are getting the... okay, this is good news, actually, guys. Oh, and while we're here, get your Fox and Father mug. Let's hope that... Nats' daughters have learned to pack it up better because a couple have come back with broken... Thanks for making this really easy to unpack for me, Calv. We're starting up the culture stores.
Right.
We are, where we're going to get a lot of creators and a lot of people who've been cancelled but have loved and supported, like you, where they can sell some merch, which is culture-related. And I can highly recommend getting this pipe because it's wrapped up like four sodding knots.
Do you not have a key on you or anything?
I don't. I'm going to have to go in this way. So this is it's just going to be your contribution to the culture store?
This is going
to
be on my culture store, absolutely.
What have we got here?
So people who are in the States can buy them on the catholicpipecompany.com, but internationally they'll be on the culture stores. Over here in the UK, you'll get them from the culture stores.
And look. It says, you won't be able to see, but it says there, Common Sense Crusade, beautifully engraved, actually.
You've got the Celtic cross on one side and St. Cuthbert's cross on the other side. We'll have to get you smoking that in the next episode.
I will be smoking it in the next episode, brother. That's a beautiful thing, yeah. So keep an eye open. I've actually got a meeting this afternoon about the culture stores, and we're going to... So it's open to anybody who's, you know... wants to sell some bits of merch and, you know, make a contribution to A, their wallets, and B, you know...
Fighting back.
Fighting back, man. We've got to fight back. We've got our alternative media in the genius that is Fox and Father, Common Sense Chats, as you tutor me in the ways of righteousness.
And everyone in Texas and Alabama was asking about Fox and Father.
It's mad. Where I go, people say it as well. I think we're heading up to, we're nearly at 100,000 YouTubers.
Great.
So that means we can start doing other things. I'm going to try out a few people. I'm going to try out getting some more content.
Right. So I obviously stayed at Larry Taunton's on my last leg of Alabama. What a gorgeous lake house he lives in, by the way.
Oh, man.
I could stay there forever. It was really relaxing.
Well, if one day I end up marrying an American woman, apparently I can go to America.
Wow. I got proposed to last night by an American woman as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good work. Should take him up on it.
But what was I going to say about Larry? Oh, yeah, so you did a show with Larry.
Mm.
Right, that's going to come out on Reclaim the Media soon.
Yeah, we did one.
WTF.
What the fuck or, no, or the world? Or the
come
world.
On, you've got a whole show without swearing. Like,
oh, sorry,
people,
man.
People were holding me to that as well, saying, you've got to stop him.
I'm sorry.
He was doing well, and then on the last episode, he swore like 35 times. What's going on?
Well, I think that's because we were drinking real whiskey.
That was
the problem. Now that we're back on the Coke, I'm fine. It's like
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Now that we're back on the gear,
speaking of Doctor Who,
Larry's house is amazing. He's a great guy,
and his dog.
That's dog Ranger. You need.
That is the dog I need.
Are you going to get? So you're not having one of the pups?
The pups are too small for me. Bless them. And I travel too much at the moment. When I settle down, I'll get a proper dog.
Yeah, a proper. You need. I think they're completely jet black German Shepherd is not a bad idea.
Or the Doberman.
Or the Doberman. Oh, you with a Doberman might be, like, pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it would work. Yeah. What else? Right-wing cancel culture.
Mm.
So GB News didn't bother turning up to report Tommy Robinson because GB News have a moratorium on Tommy Robinson. And then I was tonight invited to an event, a Donald Trump Jr.
Right,
event.
So first of all, what is the event before you get to...
I think it's a fundraiser.
Okay.
but I was invited as a friend because it's being held at a mate's house. And last night I found out that I'm now disinvited.
I hate this.
And I haven't got to the bottom of why.
Who disinvited you? Well, you say?
I don't know.
Okay.
Exactly, but I have my suspicions. So
this is why I didn't go to that big international conference in London last year, because they were trying to disinvite you and put pressure on you to not go because you're too edgy or too out there or whatever.
Yeah. I hate all of this this machinatory stuff, this establishment. You've got to be like this, you've got to be like that. Yeah. Any of you like that? And that's the problem with the right. So when you see what's coming with the right, the problem with cancel culture on the right is that the right think that they're right. They think, this is the way we do it. We do it like this. And,
you've got to be polished, got to be part of the establishment, you've got to fit into their narrative, which is exactly what the left do.
Well, it's that rhino or chino thing of like golf clubs and rich people talking about proper conservative values. We don't listen to the working person or, you know, the yous and the me's who actually... It's complete snobbery. So I think, you know, that's why I'm so disheartened with, you know, what did Churchill call democracy the least worst system? Yeah. And I think you call conservatism the least worst political affiliation. Yeah. Yeah. But really, I think what I would love to see are very powerful, strong independents out there. And this right-wing cancel culture, as you say, your GB News thing, you were cancelled from GB News for not doing anything wrong.
You know what? I know it's too late now, but I'd love to see you, Carl Benjamin, Tommy Robinson, form a party. That's a party I'd be a part of.
Mm. Well, I think what we will do is either you start a party or you start a movement with a huge number of members, and then the members, you say, this is who we reckon you should vote for.
There's no one I could vote for.
No, but if there was an amazing independent standing in your seat who was going to go, right, the problems in Hull's dinner, A, B, and C, and they were the problems that most people were upset about, and I will commit my time in Parliament to solving those problems, you'd vote for that person.
Yeah, I would. I just can't see anyone standing to say, look, we are a Christian country. We've always been a Christian country. That's a good thing. We don't want to import any more Mohammedans. We don't want any more mass immigration. We want to cap immigration. No, we want to cut immigration, control immigration. We want to turn those boats around. I can't see anyone saying we need to cut taxes, cut inheritance tax. We need to keep more of the money we earn. We need to build more houses. We need to disband Ofcom and the NHS or reform the NHS. And I can't see anyone saying all these things.
They wouldn't say it, which is so strange, because it would be such a huge vote winner. I mean, Farage, to give him his credit, is the first person that's openly criticised the NHS on television.
Right.
So, I mean, and he has got an answer for everything, which is good, because he's an extremely bright and clever guy. But it's astonishing to think the Conservatives just like, why are they complicit in their own destruction? Do they want to be wiped out, or do they genuinely ideologically think that the centre-left ground is where they should hold? Because it's not working for them.
No.
And we're getting all of the... I mean, the media are doing what you'd expect the media to do, which is they've tried to get Farage now. They can't get him because they can't get him on, you know, the usual cheap attacks for calling him a racist and all that sort of stuff. So they're now going after the candidates, which they will do. So even in a strong wind and a, you know, fair sail, Farage couldn't keep himself on the front page of the newspaper for 3.5 weeks till that election. You'd have to be a genius to be able to do that. But they will now go after the candidates who, let's face it, he's inherited a very, very hastily assembled candidate list, which hasn't been vetted by anyone.
Well, it's been vetted by Hope Not Hate.
Yeah. I'm going to go after Hope Not Hate as well.
Good.
I've decided.
Toxic communists.
Hope Not Hate receives government money.
Really?
It's also a charity. It also has a charitable arm to it. They're a political activist group, McCarthyite politically.
Why are the government funding them?
Because the government fund all these dreadful groups.
Ridiculous.
So we're going to go after Hope Not Hate in a serious way.
As you should.
Because they are poison in our culture. I mean, they're drawing up their little lists of people that they don't like or agree with.
Lists.
They're horrible trying to get people. I know and I feel in my soul that we are going to witness a major sea change. Not possibly in England at the moment. The bonus of a Labour government is that we will have something to actually fight. Because when they come and try and bring in their Race Equality Act, you'll actually be able to go, this is evil, guys, you know, and we'll be able to stir the ranks. So that'll be the bonus of a Labour government. The sadness is that everyone is woken up to it except the UK.
Mm.
And that you can put firmly at the door of the Conservative Party, because we have been, the people who aren't, you know, mad interested in politics and all that sort of stuff think, well, the Conservatives have been in charge, so we've had Conservatives, this is conservatism. But it hasn't been conservatism on any discernible metric.
But whilst the rest of Europe wakes up and votes right wing, why do we not have a right wing option over here?
We do, we've got reform.
Right wing. Okay.
Well,
I mean, we've been saying it for weeks. They are conservative, but 5 minutes ago, it's not enough.
No. Yeah, and also,
everyone seems to be getting excited about them, but I can't get excited about them.
Well, I find it difficult to get excited about people that change their principles depending on the wind.
Yeah.
And
yeah, these are my principles. If you don't like them, I've got others.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to Mark Stein about this last night.
Mm.
He said, you and I suffer from the same problem, which is we see things too quickly.
Right.
So he said, you know,
ahead of the curve.
4 years ago, you were going, Meghan Markle's just a whining cow.
Right.
And they killed you for it. And now everyone can say it.
Yeah.
And in the same way, as he said, these jabs are dangerous. And they are.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, we're seeing that now, finally.
Yeah. And you won't even get
the Telegraph published. They may cause heart problems. Mm. Like, really? Oh, really? Okay. No one's been saying that for the last 3 years.
The media are unbelievably out of control, aren't they? The way that they're reporting on almost everything at the moment makes me feel that there's a desperation in the media class, which
even the so-called right wing, the Daily Mail and the Telegraph have been awful. The Daily Mail, how they covered the rally that you guys were at. And I'm sorry again for not being there, but I did send a video. But the Daily Mail covered it atrociously. They were the ones, like the BBC, saying, oh, football hooligans, this and that. What did they say? Oh, Calvin Robinson, video games journalist, come online firebrand, sends a video. It's like, wait a minute. You know I've been writing for the Daily Mail for like at least 5 years. So say one of your writers, if you know, own it. Don't be a snake.
I think they know they're dying. I don't think the Mail Online are dying. They're doing really well. It's one of the most popular websites on earth.
Yeah.
But I think the print edition, the editorial, the narrative spinning is dying. And possibly you might be right that the confidence in allowing to just lie when they keep calling Eddie Izzard she and stuff like that. You're just like, stop it. You're driving me mad.
Yeah.
Because it's not true.
Yeah.
You're already lying in your article, and now you're lying about something as simple as what sex someone is.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're doing that because they think that they're going to bring in the online safety bill and they can carry on lying to us and we can just be like China.
The lies are getting worse. And this is something I was talking to Larry about. And Larry Taunton's going to have a great article on this, by the way, because I noticed a while ago, Tucker Carlson had an interview with a Russian guy. I might have even mentioned it on the show because I tried to find his book and I noticed you couldn't buy it in the UK. But you can get it in other places. And then there was another book that I tried to get hold of by a dodgy cardinal, really dodgy liberal progressive who's infiltrated the Vatican. And I noticed that his book wasn't available anywhere. And it was almost as if the Vatican had put pressure on publishers to wipe out the ISBN. And every book has an ISBN, so you can always find a record of it. Couldn't find it in existence anywhere. And now it's getting even worse than that, than erasing the existence of books, that they're rewriting them. So Larry's writing an article about a book that he was listening to, an audiobook. And he
Fourth Protocol.
Right, he found an interesting part of the Fourth Protocol because, of course, you connected him, didn't you, to the author?
Yeah.
Because the author then realised that parts of his book had been erased and parts had been rewritten in the second, third and fourth editions that he wasn't even aware of. Mm. So unless you go back to the first edition, there's great chapters relevant to our politics that have been taken out. So they're rewriting books, not just burning books digitally. So we need to have libraries. We need to store old books, keep old books.
And CDs.
And dictionaries.
And dictionaries and CDs and everything.
Because we're entering the new dark age.
We are entering the age. What is the fear of giving so much power to the people? Because we've got the more power we've got, the more they're trying to suppress it. And to me, it strikes me as this sort of playground thing. It's just...
Well, it's 1984, quite literally.
Yeah.
They're literally rewriting history under our noses. When they changed the definition of racism in the dictionary, which literally affects your life.
Not just my life.
But as an example.
What about a white supremacist who's now, you know, racist doesn't mean anything anymore. So a genuine KKKer who really hates people just because they're of the colour of their skin. There's no word to describe them anymore.
Well, we saw this in America. The KKK is a good example. In America, the Democrats were the KKK.
Yeah.
No Republican Party representatives were in the KKK. And now all of a sudden, like 50 years on, the Republicans are painted as the racist party.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are supposedly the ones who freed the slaves. It's like history has been rewritten.
Yeah. By the nastiest people in the world. I mean, you look at Biden. I think what they did yesterday with Hunter, by finding him guilty on these stuff, which isn't, they're not mega charges, really. I wonder if that's going to mean that Joe pardons him.
No, he won't have to, because on these charges, he won't go to prison.
Right.
These charges mean nothing, which is why they've allowed him to be guilty of these charges, so that the actual stuff that he's guilty of, all the horrible, disgusting stuff, he will get, that none of that will get covered.
Not this. What about the tax stuff? The tax stuff has got to be separate, doesn't it? I mean, tax evasion.
Well, I mean,
and all the stuff in My Son Hunter. Sorry, do go and watch it. But it's all covered in the movie. All the stuff with Patrick Ho and all of the.
What about the 10% for the big guy?
10% for the big guy. That's. I mean, they're a criminal mafia gang, the Biden family.
What about the paedophilia?
Yeah. What about Ashley Biden's diary? What about all this stuff? You know, look at the kids.
Horrible, horrible crime family, paedophilic crime family. They should all be in prison.
Yeah, but they're running the country. Goes to show
what... the free world.
That's why you want to be away from power.
Mm.
Power is, it's one of my major problems, you know, and it's like, stand in an election. And I'm like, no one wants me to stand in an election because, you know, they may do one day when I'm sort of leveled out of it, which hopefully will happen over the next few years because my life will get a bit more stable.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's too stressful, and I don't trust anybody who wants power.
No.
I think power does not belong in man's hands.
Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah. So what have you got for the rest of the week? You're back now.
I am back. I've got my Common Sense Crusade at 3 p.m. today on lotuseaters.com. You and I have a podcast coming up with Rob Moore, which will be interesting. We've both done him individually, but we're going to go on his show together.
We do.
And I'm going to try and find some time to sleep.
You need some.
America was great, but it wasn't relaxing. I was working a lot.
Were you?
And everywhere you go, they've got aircon over there.
Yeah.
They like it cold. My voice is, I don't know if you can tell, I'm quite hoarse.
Yeah.
The aircon dries me out.
It kills me, aircon.
Yeah.
I didn't turn it on when I was in Larry's house. No. I'd rather get a bit warm.
I agree.
And I like the climate and stuff out there, so it was really nice. So you're going to get some sleep. I'm going to, what have I got? I've got to get sorted to leave London and get out.
I've got to leave. I've got to move out by the end of this month. I've got nowhere to go yet. I've got all that to sort out.
Well, you can come and stay at mine.
That's very kind of you.
I've got some spare space now in the new Chateau Loz. I'm looking forward to being with my people.
Yeah.
It's going to be much nicer than looking at... Like, after the rally, we went out and had a few lagers.
Mm.
And this is how dreadful the media are. We're driving home. I've had a few beers. Charlie's driving. The bus cuts us up, cuts right across, totals this car. And I start recording. So I get out, I record. Mm. Two guys get off the bus and are immediately aggressive with me.
Why?
And smacks the phone out of my hand. Just, they're like, why are you filming me? And they're like hiding their faces. And they smack the phone out of my hand. It's reported the next day, almost all of the newspapers reported it. And I was told, found this out, because I don't Google myself.
No.
But I was told this by a member of my team. Essentially, it was implied by these newspapers, I was driving. And I'm like... You guys are the worst. Yeah. And not once you mention the fact that I'm assaulted by these people. And then to add insult to, I mean, to make the whole thing even more laughable, there was an article in the Evening Standard saying the two police officers who came around to my house weren't going to be suspended for having a photo taken with me. It's like, what is wrong? No action is going to be taken with two police officers who stood next to Satan, Lawrence Fox. And this takes us back to this idea, this demonising of
Constantly.
We need to very, very properly and not, you know, and just forcefully push back on that. And I suppose this show is good for that, because it shows for it shows people that, you know, maybe I'm not Hitler, right, and that you're not a crazy kook. And I think that's kind of good. So that's where our fight back can be, in a way, I suppose.
Even if we were Hitler and a crazy kook, it's up to the British public to decide that, not the media to tell them. The media is supposed to report facts of events. They're supposed to journalise events, not editorialise. And I can't stand the media.
They just... Also, it's really, like, trust is so fragile. Mm. And, you know, think about it in a marriage. If, you know, someone has an affair or something, it's just so fragile. And you can go from, like, the love of your life to not knowing who you were with. Yeah. That's how fragile it is. And they are skirting that. I mean, they're well over the edge when it comes to that. It's trying to find something you don't have sort of a mild sense of disdain for.
Yeah.
I really disdain the Conservative Party for not being conservative. I think the Labour Party are doing should really be representing working people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that. And I think that the media should be trying to, you know, there should be some good journalists out there writing.
This is it. So the Conservatives, Labour and the mainstream media, none of them are there for the people. This is the problem I have. Mm. Who's representing the people?
And well, everyone said, okay, not GB News either.
Not GB News either. And everyone's saying, okay, well, Farage is back at reform. Great. Here's an invitation. Farage, come on the show. Let's have a conversation. Let's find out what you stand for. Will you represent people like me and Lawrence?
Yeah.
I would love for him to meet with Tommy Robinson, but that's outside of my remit. But we can invite you on here. Let's have a conversation, Nigel Farage.
Yeah, do. Come on here and we can quiz you over the issues that we want to talk about, which are supported by loads of people. And also maybe have Tommy Robinson on GB News. I bet you they'll lift that moratorium. GB, I don't know what their ratings are like nowadays, but I bet you they'll
not
lift
very
that.
Good.
Not very good. How do you know?
I get reports back. They've been in a nosedive since the three of us left, and they've been continued to go down and down and down. It's right. Not good.
So, yeah.
But like I say, I don't think they care, because it's not about ratings for them, it's not about money for them, it's about power and influence for them. And if the Labour Party, well, when the Labour Party get in, it will be great for GB News, because they'll put themselves forward as the party, as the voice of the opposition, even though they're not, because they're controlled.
We all know that, though. I think the vast number of people in this country know it. Otherwise, you wouldn't see such a surge in any one but the above party, which is the Reform Party at the moment. And we'll see. I think it would be much better if everyone would work together. But I've been saying that 4 years and no one's listening. So.
Yeah, yep, same.
Well, I love you.
Love you too, brother.
And it's
good
great
to be back.
It's great to have you back, and thank you for my present. And yes, we'll have the culture stores coming very soon. We're launching that. I've got Corey's cigar to enjoy. And we will see you next week. Send us some stories in the notes, things that you would like to be discussed. And, you know, offer your thoughts as well, because it might be quite nice at the end of the show to get someone's comments, and we'll read them out and discuss those as well. I think that'd be good. Nice.
Yeah, because next week we'll go back to the envelopes. I'll have an envelope for you, you'll have an envelope for me. We no longer have Theon's envelope, so maybe we could have the viewer's envelope.
The viewer's envelope. Best question or best statement to be discussed will be on there. And as always, thank you for your wonderful and loyal support. So it's goodbye from the Fox, and it's goodbye.
Love you guys. God bless.
Bye.